the Public News Service Daily Newscast for July 25th, 2023. I'm Mary Sherman. There's a bipartisan effort around the U.S. to beef up enforcement and prevent antitrust activity within the nation's food system. The move comes among lingering questions about whether consumers are getting a fair shake. 31 attorneys general are working with the USDA to ultimately bring down food costs and create more choices at the supermarket. While recent inflation spikes have been a factor, officials say part of the focus is the possibility of price gouging. Teresa Murray with the Public Interest Research Group says it's worth taking a closer look to see what's going on.
We very much believe in a free market, but not when it comes to, you know, crossing the line of trying to take advantage of individuals and families who are just trying to feed their kids.
The USDA notes that states will also be on the lookout for conflicts of interest, misuse of intellectual property, and anti-competitive barriers across the food and agriculture supply chains. Business groups like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce oppose the move, calling it overreach. Parking lots dominate the landscapes in many cities, but state lawmakers across the country are looking to cut back on reserving room for these often underutilized spaces. Eric Tagetoff explains.
More than a dozen states considered ending or reducing parking mandates in 2023 legislative sessions, following Oregon's lead. Nearly every city in the U.S. requires a certain number of parking spaces to be built for each new business and housing complex. Michael Anderson is a senior researcher with Sightline Institute, a Northwest think tank focused on sustainability. He says policymakers are reconsidering past efforts to overbuild parking lots.
People are saying, wait a minute, there are a bunch of unintended consequences here. There are a bunch of longer-term side effects of building our cities with these expanses of parking lots everywhere. Let cities evolve as they will.
Anderson says creating too many lots has environmental, social, and economic costs. The boom in legislation from Vermont to Oklahoma addressing this issue comes after Oregon approved a law last year reducing parking mandates.
Rural small business owners are speaking before Congress tomorrow about the unique challenges they face. Among the speakers at the meeting is Josh Phillips, owner of Spawn Fly Fish in Ilwaukee, Washington. He says one of the biggest obstacles is the lack of infrastructure and housing in rural communities. Phillips says his business is renovating a garage space to build out housing in order to appeal to potential employees.
The ability to attract somebody that has the level of expertise for what we do on the internet is challenging without our ability to house them, which historically doesn't fall on the owner to house employees, but kind of does in these rural communities, and it's not something that's unique to us.
Phillips says there are other ways the federal government could help small businesses, such as making lines of credit and loans through the Small Business Administration more accessible.
It's not that they aren't trying to do the right thing, but our ability to circumnavigate the red tape as an owner-operated business has been challenging for us in the past.
This is Public News Service. Rhode Island is tackling the year-long process of redetermining people's Medicaid eligibility. Once the COVID-19 public health declaration expired this spring, Medicaid's continuous renewal policy did too. James Rozat with the state's Executive Office of Health and Human Services says the state has seen a modest increase in Medicaid enrollment so far, noting that gathering people's updated contact information is among the challenges.
There are folks who may be homeless and change locations of address rather frequently, and so we have to partner with our homeless service providers and others to do that outreach and ensure that they are engaged.
Now to the Buckeye State, where advocacy groups say a $20 million statewide funding increase will help rebuild community domestic violence services after years of budget cuts. The Ohio Domestic Violence Network says since 2019, more than a quarter of their member programs turned away survivors seeking assistance with a protection order due to a lack of available staff. After several attempts, Krista Hullaby left an abusive relationship in 2004 and had a restraining order against her ex-partner for 15 years until his death. She says access to resources can save lives.
It's never easy to leave. It's one of the hardest things I've ever done. It actually got worse when I left.
Last year, 81 Ohioans died from domestic violence, including 22 children. Black Women's Equal Pay Day is this Thursday, calling attention to the wage disparity between black women and white men. And in Mississippi, it's even more pronounced.
Cassandra Welshlin with the Mississippi Black Women's Roundtable points out that it takes 7 months for a black woman's earnings to catch up to what a white man made in a year, perpetuating a cycle of economic inequality and exclusion.
Mississippi black women earn 56 cents on the dollar compared to the national, which is black women earn 67 cents for full-time year-round workers and 64 cents for workers working part-time.
In a 40-year career, Black women lose more than $907,000 to the wage gap. I'm Danielle Smith.
And studies show that college students are a target for phishing scams, and swindlers are increasingly targeting California students.
Phishing scams often trick victims into revealing their login or other private credentials by pretending to be a legitimate company or figure. Erin Johnson is in charge of technology solutions and innovation at California State University Long Beach. He says the scams are often threats to lock students out of their computers or a bogus job offer aimed at getting personal information.
The scammer in particular are looking for things with no monetary value, whether it be gift cards or cash in general. Students aren't inherently wealthy, so they're not going to get large rewards, but I think over time it adds up.
The online scams aimed at college students increased significantly between 2014 and 2022.
That's Mark Richardson reporting. I'm Mary Sherman for Public News Service, member and listener supported and online. Find RA Trust Indicators at publicnewsservice.org.